All right, this is the courtroom observer call.
What?
September 7th, 2016, and I have one person in particular I want to explain her case. I asked for somebody else to come on. I might have gotten the notice a little bit too late, but Lydia, you have some things to tell us tonight, so go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Lydia Admahoff, and I'm living in Knoxville, Tennessee. I have one daughter, and my husband lives in Pittsburgh for his job, works and lives for his job. And things happen that my daughter had behavior, you know, violent behavior and history. She remained in BCS before previously, and she got in trouble again. And recently, like, it is 2012, we got in the car and she hit me in the car and pulled my hair. And I, when I delivered her to the school, she complained that I hit her. I didn't hit her. And she had some pink eye. And they, you know, the same day they asked me, the same day DCS came to the school and two police officers, and they have interview with me, and they told me that she is injured. I asked them if I can see her, but they refused to show her. Then they asked me many questions and asked me to sign a paper, and I asked them that I cannot sign the paper because I am not sure what is there, and I need my lawyer. I need to sign in front of the lawyer. But instead, they're still questioning me. And later, they took away my daughter to take it. They took her in a state custody, and 2 weeks later they come again. They surprised me, and when I was in the shower and I was wet, and got scared, put my nightgown on me, and opened the door, and there were again two police officers. An investigator, and they told me they know what happened. They have a rolling camera, which I find later they lied, because my lawyer told me they don't have it. They tricked me, and they wanted to investigate my house. I asked them if they have a warrant, but they said no. But I was, you know, they still questioned me, and they didn't want to leave the house. And they questioned me again, what happened? And I told them the truth, that, you know, I have to tell you the truth, that my daughter assaulted me, that I want to protect her. I didn't tell them the truth, that she assaulted me, because, you know, I don't want her involvement in DCS. Then, because they get into the house, they checked every room, and running water, electricity, everything, and everything worked well. And they left the house. When they left, after we retained the lawyer to find on my allegations, and instead, when we had and before it, we retained the lawyer. My daughter called Sorry that I, you know, describing maybe not the proper way, but I am not that good in English. Then, but when I my daughter wrote the email to the to our lawyer that she was assaulted. I mean, not assaulted. She was complaining about foster mother who took naked picture of her and about other conditions that she doesn't like and is unhappy with unhealthy food and stuff. Then we get next day on July 8th, we have court hearing and supposed to be about dismissing or finding my allegation, but instead they, after a while of questioning caseworker by my lawyer, the judge called for recess, and after recess my lawyer came with the deal that I should accept this allegation. And she pushed me so hard that will be changed from, you know, from neglect and dependent and neglect of inappropriate physical discipline. I said I never touched her. How I can take my allegation when then I never touched her? This lie, she lied and never hit her. But she pushed us, she said that you can leave, you can take your daughter today and in the same day and you don't have to pay child custody when she will remain in here. And she advised us to take the deal and the same day. And my husband, and the deal that means that they will give my old daughter to my husband, who lives in Pittsburgh. And we weren't ready for this because we want a reconciliation, a workout with daughter first. Because of the pressure, you know, I decided to take this deal. Even was against me. And court order was that stated that next few days I received court order, and court order stated that my husband will have physical custody on my daughter, over my daughter, but me, Lidia Dmochowski, will have only legal custody and can remain with the same in the same room, but always somebody has to be present, like third party, my husband or other people. And the same day after hearing, we packed and moved right away to Pittsburgh. We drive and we rented hotel and then and looking for apartment for her and my husband. Then I come back to Knoxville to prepare myself to move. I knew that I cannot live with them, but at least I moved near them to have contact. But instead, after 2 months, when my husband arrived to pick our furniture, that on August 28, 2015, the two police officers show up at my home in front of my apartment and they told me they won't arrest me. I asked them if they have warrant. They didn't have the warrant. They showed me some kind of paper It didn't want me to read paper from the distance. And then I said I already had court hearing and already had my cases closed and I have a court order. And why do you want to arrest me? He said, because of child abuse. I said, it wasn't child abuse, this is wrong. It was incident in the car. But he didn't want to listen. He handcuffed me and put me into the car, police car, and they and delivered me to jail. Delivered me to jail, and the, my bail was $40,000. And we were so scared of this amount of money, we couldn't pay, and my husband were looking for bailmen, and he found the bailmen, which we paid 10%, which was $4,000. And I spent whole day in a jail, and by the night, I was released under this paid bail. And that was, it started. Then again, I was scared and I didn't know how to fight. I had arraignment, and when I showed an arraignment myself with my husband, the judge told me that I have to have a lawyer. Oh, they can appoint the lawyer, but I was skeptical about a lawyer from the court. Then that we decided we retain lawyer again. And then I retained lawyer again, and I plead not guilty in a court. And after filing many motions, you know, I spent whole year in Knoxville because I am not allowed to move to Pittsburgh to my family, and I'm waiting for the now. For the trial, a trial was moved three times from May 4 because of DA. DA wasn't ready, and next time was July 28. She still wasn't ready, and now it's gonna be on September 12. And I don't know if it's gonna happen. But I think the judge said that this is less time he allowing them to move the dates. And I think gonna happen on September 12th.
So has anybody called you for being a courtroom observer yet?
No, nobody did call me.
Okay. I'm wondering if anybody's on the call that's near Knoxville, Tennessee. Is anybody near there?
And I don't know anybody. You know, I call all.
Okay, so is your I'm just going to ask you, Lydia, is your case all in the paperwork? Is everything about your case in documentation and the paperwork that goes to the court?
Yes, because there is a.
But I mean, is it laid out? Is your case laid out in the paperwork that's really plain for everybody to read?
You know, it's nothing there. Just when I went for the docket, there is only, it's mentioned my presentment and grand jury. And the simple assault count one, and no story about me at all.
Well, I know everybody's heard me say this over and over again, but
when you go in this time, you should have your whole case in your paperwork, have it very organized, and then you have a copy for yourself, a copy for the judge, maybe the prosecuting attorney, the bailiff, or whatever, and you hand them out, and if they keep asking you questions, they're trying to trip you up. They're trying to get your verb, your words, to dismiss your paperwork. So basically, you just say, it's all in the paperwork. They keep bothering you. It's all in the paperwork. They keep bothering you. It's all in the paperwork. And then eventually, and then if they keep bothering you, you pick up the paperwork and just start reading it. And that way, they don't have you do not give them authority over you, and you have not discounted your paperwork, your documentation that you have there.
Yes. Is this enough what I, like the story I just passed, this is the same story? I should write the same story, like deliver to the judge? I am not sure.
Well, you do have it. You, in the courtroom observer, form, you pretty much laid it out, I thought.
Yeah, the story what I described, you know.
Well, that can be your case.
And I need to deliver to the judge, but I am not sure if judge let me to, because I have a lawyer.
No, the thing is that you're just going to say it's all in the paperwork, and then if they bother you some more, you just start reading the paperwork. They have the case, and I would get it notarized, too.
I get it notarized. The same what I put, you know, it would be the same story I gave you, and which is posted on LA, would be the same story, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm worried that, you know, nobody, I called county organizers, seems nobody responding from a nearest county, like, you know, the people whose name are posted on the NLA, as a county organizer, they were no responding to me. Even state coordinators also, nobody responded to me. And I don't know what's going on and why.
Well, do you have any friends that can go?
No, the people are afraid to go. They are not, that's why I need, I know somebody, but, you know, they even speak less English they need, and that's why I am afraid. I recently called yesterday to, Embassy of Poland, and they are going to respond, but... But it's too late, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, because my lawyer promised the case dismissed, that I'm not going to go to jail for this.
So you have a lawyer?
Yeah, I have a lawyer, but he like, ignores me. Whatever I say. And I don't know what to do. I don't...
You don't want a lawyer.
Huh?
You don't want a lawyer.
Yeah, I shouldn't have a lawyer. I know now, but I am not sure what's going to do. If I fire him...
He will betray you. He works for the state.
That's what I'm going to do. Like, you should fire him?
Fire him.
Yes.
Tell him you don't like what he says, and you don't believe he's working for you, and you do not need him. And put in an affidavit that's worth a lot more than the lawyer. an affidavit signed by a notary.
I know I can have even court reporter, because I did call to have my own court reporter, and the man said that they won't let me have court reporter.
What? You're saying that they won't allow you to have your own court reporter?
No, won't, because I need to ask Claire, and in his 4 years experience, they never did. Until maybe if I go to secretary, job secretary, or clerk, but I don't think they're going to leave me. This is in a very difficult situation. In Tennessee, it's the worst, probably. With the law. I am willing to pay somebody from NLA to help me.
What?
Even, are you willing to pay if, court observer or somebody willing to come to help?
I wonder about Brent Winters. He's in Indiana. And he's the guy that's always talking on Monday night. Let me see if I can find his number.
They offer me diversion.
What?
But diversion, I denied, because I don't know what is diversion, and I am not sure how they asked me to plead. There was not enough information about this offer. Kind of diversion.
So you go to Brent Winters. And he's got, I can send you, his website is commonlawlawyer.com.
Common lawyer.
And I'm sorry, common lawyer, not common law lawyer. Commonlawyer.com.
.com.
commonlawyer.com.
Yeah, I have it. I got it. I called once to the lawyer, but he didn't respond.
Did you tell him you were a member of National Liberty Alliance?
Yes, I am a member for 1 year. Simply, if I still plead not guilty, I know they are not prepared. They are not ready. They don't offer me something.
How old is your daughter?
16.
And is she mad about her situation?
I visited when you're not talking about the stuff, she's okay. When we start to talk about this, she doesn't want to hear it. She knows she's guilty, that now she doesn't want to hear it. That's tough. This is the problem. My husband is very supportive. But my lawyer said that they better to not bring her here. He got another lawyer in Pittsburgh that told him that her is kept away in a court. We don't know what would happen when she's present. Maybe she will get mad. That's why they, you know, they won't come.
Well, does anybody else have any other suggestions? Nobody, does anybody live near Knoxville at all?
I don't see anybody. I even play playing, you know.
What?
I even can, you know, if somebody can come by, you know, can fly, I will incorporate.
Laura?
Oh. Yeah.
This is Jan in Kansas. And I don't know whether this is something that she could do or not, but Harley from Vermont has told his courtroom that he has a disability of some sort. I think he said he's got dyslexia. And so he asked the court, since he has dyslexia, can he bring a camera in? Or, well, I don't know where he asked him, but anyway, he got permission to bring a camera in due to his dyslexia. And so it might be that she could say that her English isn't her first language, and that she would like to bring a recording device in and record the proceedings because she needs to be able to go back and look at them and see what happened.
That's a good suggestion too. Lydia, did you get that?
Yes, but I don't think it's going to happen because they say this man from the, you know, I called two of them and they say the judge will not allow. I would say the people under the, because of recording, is not allowed.
Lydia, it's called special accommodation. That's the word you want to use. You tell them that you need special accommodation with a recording device because English is not your first language and you need to go back and look. But that's the terminology. You need special accommodation.
Special accommodation. Yeah, special accommodations under the Americans with Disability Act. And that was published back in the 1990s. So there is an Americans with Disability Act, and you do have a right for accommodation, like you're being told, Lydia.
That's right.
Accommodation under Americans?
Under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
She's not disabled, but...
But her language.
Right, but that's.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do have their own because I'm not sure. But probably not video.
Okay, so I think we have enough information there for Lydia. I wish that I could say somebody was going to be there for sure, but the notice is out, and so hopefully somebody will call you. But in the meantime, see if there's anybody you know that actually speaks English pretty well that actually would be your courtroom observer, and you could... this person could just come in and observe and not make contact with you so that they wouldn't know who this person was connected to you. And so that way maybe they would feel safer if they were just anonymous in there.
Yes, it would be,
you know, instead. So that would solve the fear thing if you have you know, people that actually would observe if they just went in there and acted like they didn't know you. And then they are there taking notes.
It's Jan again. Back in the 90s, I worked with the battered women's shelters, and what they had back then was, and I'm sure they probably got them now, they should have even better now, but they had advocates. They had special people set aside as advocates for the person going to court. And perhaps she could check in to see about the advocacy program, because they're not going to tell her about them, but if she knows about them and she goes in and says, I need an advocate, then at least she's got a witness that way.
Okay, and that's through the domestic violence program?
Well,
or?
That was what I was working with, but I think since she's in a family court setting and it has something to do with children and families and that kind of thing, I would be really surprised if they didn't have advocates still for the family.
Okay. So, Lydia, that's something to look into, too.
Yeah, there is organization in L.A., in Nashville, but I have no contact with them. I don't know what their phone or something.
She's talking about advocates for family court, not National Liberty Alliance.
Right, and the advocates were volunteers. They were, like, I was there as a volunteer for, I was doing the court reporting, the court watching thing, because we were trying to get the laws changed. But the advocacy is not hired by the court, so they're not tied to them. They're tied to the person that they're advocating for, was the whole point, you know. So I'm off. I'm out.
Okay. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you.
So, okay, so anybody else have any cases that they are going to help with or that they have themselves? Nobody? Carl is, he's driving right now, so he thought he might pop in, but I don't think he's here. Let's see. No, he is here. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Are you driving?
I am driving, yeah. I have my wireless set up here in the car, so I'm talking through the car. Is it coming in okay?
No. it sounds really echoey.
Okay. Sorry about that setup.
That's all right. Do you have any intel?
No. And I was wondering too. And it's the first 15 minutes. Was there anything on the busing trial today?
I can't even understand you. I think you asked me if we heard anything about the Bundy trial. And I have not heard anything about it. Does anybody else know anything? Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I know there was people that were thinking going long distance to go, but Ollie up there. He did not recommend it. He just said there's a lot of people already. And so it was kind of taken care of.
Hey, Laura?
That's better.
Is there anybody else's voice coming through in the panel?
Yeah, other people were coming through on the panel, but now that sounds way better than everything, because I think I was echoing back to myself, too, and now I'm not. What did you do?
Nothing. Yes, I was asking if anybody attended the Bundy trial.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, and I haven't heard word of, you know, what's been going on, but, some people that emailed me and wanted to know how to get out there from, you know, on the East Coast to go to the West Coast, and when I talked to Ollie about it last week, he didn't recommend it. He just said there was a lot of people in the area.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, on this call right now, if there's anybody who went and wants to describe what happened. I know it's like election day that happened. So I was wondering if anybody was in doubt. That was pretty much it.
Well, anybody that was there, speak up.
Anybody that was where?
At the Bundy trial in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, I see. Not I.
Well, it doesn't sound like anybody else was either. it'll be interesting to find out what happens. And what's been happening.
I know they were talking about the dieseling on Monday night.
The what?
The dieseling that's going on with the prisoners.
What's that?
The Monday night call. Well, it's when they put them in a... I don't know if they put them in the air, in the air or on... Somehow they do a lot of traveling from one place, and they keep on moving from one place to another, and it really puts everybody... the person, a prisoner, in jet lag. Serious jet lag. And John is talking about getting some paperwork together because nobody's having an answer to it. And they say the prison warden is the one who's probably ordering these things, so they know already, and they want to stop it because they're killing people this way.
And they call it dieseling?
Dieseling.
Huh.
That's what they call it. It's been done a long time, over a period of years, to prisoners, you know, that they want to injure and torture. That's a torture.
Diesel therapy was the other
diesel
word.
Diesel therapy. That's right.
Wow. That's what they call it?
Yes.
Oh.
Torture.
I thought they did that to Rod Class one time. When he was trying to get to his trial, that they just drove him around and drove him around and had the diesel coming in the bus or something, and so that he couldn't think when he got to court. That was a year or so ago.
Maybe.
So that's what they're doing to the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a form of torture. Yeah, because that's really bothering me. This is Jan in Kansas, probably bothering me as much or more than anything that I've heard, because
what they said was, or what the newspapers and stuff, I went to the library today and looked it up, and he had a stroke when they were giving him that dieseline, and then they haven't medicated him properly, and they kept moving him around and moving him around. And it's really obvious that they're murdering him.
And
I mean, it's really bothering.
Almond?
No, it's Mr. Robertson, the man that dug the cow pond. He's in prison for digging a cow pond.
Oh.
On his own property.
Right.
Yeah, and they're trying to murder him.
Oh. So where is his trial? Or does he even have one?
I think he was supposed to witness or something, you know. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't see where it said about the trial yet, but it's just pathetic. I mean, it's really troubling what they're doing to people.
Well, they're doing this in the prisons. They're doing a lot of torture in the prisons that nobody really can say anything about because we're not in a prison. But
well, they're taking the good people, you know. I mean, he had an engineer come out and say that he wasn't polluting this river 105 miles away, and just like Lydia trying to take care of her family. It just looks like they're going for good people, you know, to me. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think he was in Montana. I think that case, Montana, I hear.
Yeah. So does he have any relatives, land that would protect the land or not? It's just him.
I'm not sure. Anyone else? Anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's older, and what I understand, if I've got the story right, is that his wife's a little younger, and he's like 77, and I think she's 10 years or at least younger than him. But what Gerard said last night, or Monday night, was that they sold Mr. Robertson's, pardon me, they sold his property a long time ago because they want something, and now they're just trying to, this was Gerard's explanation, and I believe it's true, that they just want his property, and so, you know, they're doing whatever they need to do to get it. It just really...
Well, they've been doing that. They're doing that with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. But when somebody's sick and he's got a service dog that they took away from him, and, I mean, it's just pathetic.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad. I don't know how people sleep at night.
For doing drugs.
What'd you say?
I'm trying drugs.
Probably.
That they have to take drugs for what they're doing.
Sleeping pills, you know.
Yeah, I guess. But what I mean is that,
no,
I mean, how do they live with themselves? I guess sleeping pills.
I guess if you're a psychopath, you don't know the difference, maybe.
Yeah, really,
that's true.
They're
not human. They're not like a human heart, you know.
Yeah.
They're not. They're hard.
Yeah.
Like rocks and stones, they're hard.
Either that or they've got chips in their brain and they're just being manipulated, too.
Maybe they're one of those
possible hybrids. Yeah.
That or just the mind control thing, because it just seems it's so bizarre.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
How that many people would choose to do that to people.
Yeah.
So it's a program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something.
Yes, that's great.
Well, does anybody have anything else to add? I did try to get somebody who was asking for help, they wouldn't say their name, or they wouldn't even put their name in the email. It just said your name. And I sounded like this person needed some help. So I told them, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, to get on this call. And I don't think they're on here. I mean, I don't really know what their name would be, but I just thought this was a good place for them, because whoever it is said they needed a lawyer, and I'm just like, well, we don't really give out, we don't have lawyers to give out. That's not what we do. Try to direct them so they could explain what's going on with them. Anyway, if nobody has anything else to add, I think we can stop the recording and...